Hello and welcome to the Care for the Family podcast with me, Mark Chester, and Stephen Hayes.
Hello.
This is the first episode of The Dad Cave, where we discuss fatherhood in its varying forms and we're unpacking some of the things that often don't get talked about. So, Stephen, tell us, why are we calling it The Dad Cave?
In some ways, Mark, it was the best of a bad bunch. but I think people are familiar with the idea of a man cave, which a lot of men dream of having a space in the home with a dartboard and a TV or whatever it might be. So the dad cave, we just thought that would conjure up just a safe space for us to talk about, as you said, the stuff that we don't often delve into. There were some rejects in the mix. So absolutely dadulous. Breaking Dad, Strictly Come Dancing, was one of the worst.
That's a terrible one.
Yeah. Men Behaving Dadly, although I think that someone's already done that. Dad Men. And of course, Who Let the Dads Out, you've already used. And so we thought Dad Cave was the best one.
It was definitely the best one. I'm glad we went with Dad Cave.
Yeah. So, Mark, there might be a handful of people out there who aren't familiar with who you are. So can you just give us the broad brushstrokes?
The first thing to clear up is that my name is Mark Chester and I am from Chester as well. That often causes a bit of confusion. But I live there with my family. So I'm married to Sue and we've got two children. Meg's 22 years old and Billy's 18 years old. And Sue and I, 16 years ago when the children were young, set up a project there called Who Let the Dads Out? And it was reaching out to fathers and their children. And that's grown. So lots of churches now run sessions for dads and children from their community. And I'm working for Care for the Family, helping churches to do that. So how about you, Stephen? Who's in your family? Tell us about yourself.
Well, I certainly feel less equipped to talk about dad life because I've only been a dad for about 8 months. I'm married to Beck and we had Imogen earlier this year. And I'm looking forward to kind of delving into more about fatherhood. I've been working for Care for the Family for the best part of a decade now. So I feel like I've slowly been taking in stuff about family life down the years. But yeah, I feel like there's a heck of a lot more to learn. I feel like there's a bit of an elephant in the room that's probably worth bringing up at this point, Mark.
Yeah.
You're a Liverpool fan. Mm. I support Manchester United. I think I just need to lay the cards out on the table. Right now, if people are listening to this in 2019 or 2020, Liverpool are right now a slightly better team. And I have to accept that.
I'm just wondering whether we could we should get into our dad jokes bit. Because
in each
session, we're going to bring a dad joke, aren't we? And just talk about a dad joke. So I'm just wondering, what dad joke have you got, Stephen? Now, I have to say, you're a funny guy.
Oh, I know you're a funny guy.
Because I remember at the last Christmas dinner, you stood up and you told some jokes. No one was getting up behind the mic and you stood up and you told some jokes. And people laughed.
Oh, yeah, I did, didn't I?
You did. And people laughed at least at one of them, I think.
All right, thanks.
So I'm just wondering
One out of seven.
Yeah. I'm just wondering whether anyone's going to laugh today. So go for it.
Well,
what's your dad joke?
I have to say, I haven't written this one. I do, since Imi was born, I've definitely, my dad humour has definitely increased. And I think it probably just goes from being bad to dad. I think that's the only change. this one you might know. Mark, what is ET short for?
Oh, I don't know. What is ET short for?
Because he's only got little legs. That is quality.
That was a little polite laugh there.
Yeah, it was lovely. Very believable.
Yeah.
I'm going to get my polite laugh ready.
Yeah. Okay, so
fire away.
Oh, this is my dad joke.
Okay.
So I used to work in a calendar factory, but I was given the sack. What you meant to say is, what would you say there?
Why were you given the sack?
Fantastic. Thank you. You can tell we haven't rehearsed this. I was given the sack because I kept taking a few days off. Boom, boom.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Terrible. I know. Sorry, that was terrible.
I actually felt like I died a little bit inside after that joke. Wow. Okay, so Mark, can you just tell us what the topic for this episode is, what we're going to delve into?
So we're asking the question today, is this a golden age for dads or is it a time of crisis? And just to give a bit of background to that subject, at conferences sometimes or seminars, I talk about this and I ask people whether they think it's a golden age or a time of crisis. And often the room's mixed. Hmm. So some people think it's one, some people think it's the other. So I think today we need to try and work out, what are we in? Are we in a golden age or a time of crisis? So for you, Stephen, what does it mean to be a dad in this day and age?
There's probably a very stereotypical idea of what fatherhood has looked like in the past. But I kind of think when you contrast that with what fatherhood looks like today, I think it's just certainly experientially, in, you know, what I've seen is that dads just seem to be more involved. But I think you still get the two perspectives. I remember seeing it at the time last year. I don't know if you saw this, but Daniel Craig was pictured wearing a papoose.
Yeah, I remember
so
that, yeah.
For anyone who doesn't know, a papoose is basically like a baby carrier that you wear on your front. Mm. And at the time, Piers Morgan tweeted something out, and he's obviously quite a controversial chap anyway. But he said, 007, not you as well, hashtag papoose, hashtag emasculated Bond. So you've got these two kind of different, you know, you've got a dad who's just kind of carrying his child in the way that he wants to. And you've got still that kind of voice in society that says that might look down on that. So I think that's kind of where things are at the moment. I think there is probably a bigger expectation for dads to be more involved, but that probably wouldn't be shared by everyone. For you, as having been a dad for now 22 years, have you seen noticed a change in the expectation on dads?
That's a really good question, because I think, yes, in short, there is a change in expectation. I don't think there's a change in dads particularly. So I think dads, they've always been good and bad dads. They've always been dads who want to be involved in their children's lives, and those who don't, there's always been alcoholic dads, sober dads, violent dads, gentle dads. There's always been all sorts of different types of dads. But I think generally most dads want to be involved in the lives of their children. They don't set out to be a bad dad. They set out to be a good dad. I think the difference has been society's expectations, you know, and the opportunity that guys have had to be involved in. But I certainly feel over the last perhaps 20, 30 years, things have changed a bit. You know, you see more dads at the gates home time, you see more dads out pushing prams, you see more dads just taking responsibility for their children. Mm. We used to take a group of dads on a train and go to Llandudno for a day out on the train, dads and their kids. And I used to remember every time we went, there was always people on the train saying, so what are you? And, you know, well, we're dads, but they couldn't quite get it. They were like, so you're just like a group for single dads? Or, you know, there's always had to be a reason why dads would want to be with their children.
So they were surprised to see a group of dads out with their kids.
Yeah. Yeah. These days, I'm not sure that would happen. I think people would just accept that as normal.
No, but, yeah. I've got a friend who, and we've taken our respective kids out in the prams, and nobody would bat an eyelid, but I think, in times gone by. So I think that view of this being a golden age for fatherhood, all that stuff kind of, it seems like dads are more involved in a more obvious way, at least.
Yeah.
I came across this statistic. So in 1982, 43% of fathers admitted they'd never changed a nappy or diaper, if you're listening in the US. And today that number is down to about 3%. Mm. So that's an American study from Boston College. And there's quite a few statistics of that ilk that are out there that does suggest in the day-to-day, whether it be a nappy change or getting involved in the feed, dads just are doing more of that kind of practical stuff. And I suppose that shift is quite hard to articulate why that's come about.
I think, you know, for me, there was one guy who actually had a really positive impact on that. And that was David Beckham. Mm-hmm. So I think David Beckham emerged at a time when when probably we were just at the start of this age for fatherhood.
Yeah.
And he was this global icon, you know, sporting hero. Everybody knew
he was. Played for a brilliant team.
Yeah, he scored a few lucky goals, and people got to know who he was.
Yeah.
But one of the things that was central to his identity, and he wasn't ashamed for people to see that, was that he became a father, and he was quite clearly wanted to be identified as a father, as well as this global sporting icon. So, you know, I think he had quite an impact on culture, actually. Yeah. That all of a sudden other guys were probably looking and thinking, yeah, well, it's a central part of my identity as well. Yeah. And I can show that more freely now because the likes of David Beckham are willing to, he spoke about his children a lot. You know, he was photographed with his children. He was pushing prams. He, just like what you said about Daniel Craig carrying his baby in a papoose.
Well, understanding why it might be viewed that this is a bit of a golden age. And even, you know, you said about David Beckham, The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, he has a massive Instagram following, and loads of his photos are him spending time with his kids. And he's this kind of like, he could probably bench press both of us together. He's just huge. And he's an ex-wrestler, action star. And he's also like a really attentive dad. So I think all that stuff is kind of just, people see someone like that and it just breaks down any sense of, oh, I shouldn't be doing this or what have you. One thing I think you would be far better at delving into is why might it be seen by many as a time of crisis? So you said when you're doing seminars, half the room don't think it's a golden age. And so what does that look like? Well,
sometimes I think it depends on which kind of community you live in. Mm-hmm. So I've worked in some really deprived areas, and people would often say it's a time of crisis in those areas because there aren't many fathers or father figures around. Mm. And when they are around, it's quite transitional, a lot of family breakdown, a lot of family deprivation. So one particular seminar, people said, oh no, on our estate, it's a time of crisis because there just aren't the father figures on our estate. Mm. So there are a lot of children as well without fathers in their lives or without positive role models in their lives, just like there are children without positive mother figures in their lives. Mm. But I know some years back it was described, some areas of the country were described in the newspapers as men deserts, which was quite an interesting sort of way of describing it, quite provocative really. Mm. And I wouldn't go as far as describing those areas as that. But I once ran a dads and lads project, a football project in a particular community. Mm-hmm. And loads of lads came, but none of them came with their biological father because none of the biological fathers
out of how many kids?
So you might get 10 to 15 kids.
And none of them came with their biological fathers.
They came with uncles or they came with teachers at school or stepfathers so there were some role models in their lives, which was good, but you know, the family life was very transitional in that area. Things changed a lot. And so people often in those areas will say, well, it's a real time of crisis. Yeah. I think mainly because of family breakdown, probably. So what other pressures do you think that you know, families could face?
Perhaps because of the perceived increase in dads being involved. I think the expectation just changes things. So, you know, I can have a full day in work, you know, a lot of meetings, a lot of deadlines, a lot of that kind of stuff. But I know when I go home at around 5, I've got a really short window to see Imogen. I see her for about half an hour in the morning, and then I've got perhaps a 2-hour window in the evening. So I think it's that balance of, and I think a lot of dads might kind of feel this, where you kind of get in the door. And whilst you might feel like, I just need to sit in a dark room for half an hour just to digest the day, it's kind of straight back into it. And that kind of, so that's a pressure that I think perhaps 30 years ago, you know, a dad might have come home and maybe gone into his study to carry on working, that kind of thing. And I know people with dads who kind of had that sort of relationship. Whereas I think there's less time to, For me, I don't know about you, but my way to unwind is kind of alone time. And I think that doesn't mean not wanting to spend time with my family or other people. But I think I love speaking to people, but I kind of re-energize when I've got that kind of... So typically now, Beck goes to bed at kind of 9:30. And then there's that like hour and a half where I might just, watch something or just do something to kind of unwind from the day. And as pressures go, that's not the worst thing. Mm-hmm. What about you? What kind of pressures have you faced down the years as a dad?
Where do I start? There's loads. I think
22 years worth.
Yeah, one of the things that sort of has stuck with me, one of the big pressures was lack of sleep for us because our children didn't sleep very well. Mm-hmm. And I often used to think actually that if one of us was on our own with the children, how would we have coped? Because it was a bit tag team sometimes.
Yeah, we had that.
And so I do think areas where those areas of deprivation we were talking about, or areas of family breakdown where dads might not be around. How do mums might not be around? Dads might be looking at the children, looking after the children, which happens more and more these days. Yeah. Actually, there's a number of dads in groups I run, single dads who've got main custody of their children. How do they cope really without that break, without somebody to tag team with? It was a challenge, and at the time it felt like this is going to go on forever, and of course it hasn't. They're older.
How long
now.
Did it go on for, just so I know?
I probably shouldn't tell you this.
Maybe not.
But my daughter didn't sleep through the night until she was about 2.5. So she would wake every 2 hours.
Yeah.
I'm digressing a bit here, but I'll tell you, when Meg was a baby, I can remember one night, because one of the things I used to do in sheer desperation to try and get her to sleep is I'd take her out in the car in the middle of the night, put her in a car seat, because that would sometimes send her to sleep. One night, friends of ours had been round and they left around about midnight, and Meg woke up at midnight, could not get her back to sleep. In the end, I took her out in the car. I drove for 25 miles between two roundabouts that were 1 mile apart. So I literally just went backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards.
Oh, my word.
And if the police had seen me, they'd probably wonder, what's this guy doing?
Yeah.
And eventually, after 25 miles, she fell asleep. So I
desperation.
It was. Took her back home, took her out of the car, put her back in a cot. She woke up instantly and then was awake for another 2 hours. So we ended up watching Jungle Book together in the middle of the night. And
do you kind of have, and it'd be nice to know, do you kind of like look at that kind of thing now, however many years on, and kind of have any sort of fond, is any of it like fond memory now, like watching the Jungle Book in the middle of the night, or is that still like, oh no, that was awful?
Do you know, I do have fond memories. It's a good question, really good question, because it's really hard work at the time.
Yeah.
But when I look back, I think I'm really glad I was able to do that, because there's something I think that happens in the relationship at a much deeper level when you do those things together and when you go through those challenges. And that's not to look back with rose-tinted glasses, because it was terrible. You know, it was awful. And I can remember crying in the middle of the night because I was so desperate to get sleep and wanting to get Meg to go to sleep. But now I look back and I think, actually, that's a big investment in the relationship.
Yeah.
And hopefully that's meant that we've had a closer relationship as both Meg and Billy have got older.
Yeah. One of the many upsides of working for Care for the Family for the last decade or so is that I've kind of just been slowly absorbing all this kind of, all these great ideas and little phrases. But I've also made dumb mistakes as well. I think only a couple of weeks ago, I settled her, put her in her cot, and then just kind of like brushed her hair out of her face a little bit. And she woke up and I thought, what on earth was I thinking? You think the consequence of that one moment is going to mean an hour more awake. And it's... Yeah.
You know, they do grow out of it. That said, like I said earlier, we're in a different realm now where they come in sometimes very late at night, early hours of the morning. Mm-hmm. And I don't sleep really well, to be honest, until they come in. We have a system where we leave the landing light on. And then when they come in, we tell them, before you go to bed, switch the landing light off. So if we wake up in the night and we, you know, we want to know whether they're in or not.
Yeah.
If the landing light's off, we know they're in. So that puts my mind at ease a little bit. I'm kind of thinking we need to get back on topic, because we've gone into sleep, which we could talk about forever, really, which is interesting.
Digressions both within digressions, yeah.
But I'm wondering now, maybe we should come to some kind of conclusion.
That sounds like a great idea, Mark.
What do you think? Is it a golden age or a time of crisis?
By and large, dads are more involved, and I think, you know, the cultural figures like The Rock and David Beckham and so on, Daniel Craig, helping break down any sense of, that's okay for men to do. Mm. But I think, and so much of the work you've done with Who Let the Dads Out, I think it's continuing to find ways where men and dads in particular can support each other, because I think there are stuff that we all face, and men aren't always great, and I'm not always great at kind of communicating about the struggles and that kind of stuff. And I think as this podcast develops, it's providing a space to start that some of those conversations where, okay, how can we better support each other as dads? I think it's kind of recognizing, yeah, things are in a better place, but there are still difficulties. And I think, yes, trying to support each other more can only be a good thing.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, supporting one another and just having the conversations like we've had today, mm-hmm. just a chance to just get together and have a chat about some of the challenges of parenting, some of the pleasures of parenting as well. You know, I've really enjoyed our discussion today. And I agree with you, Stephen. I think we're in a golden age for fatherhood in many ways. Mm-hmm. And that's not to diminish areas where it could be seen as a time of crisis. Mm-hmm. I think it depends on your experience. But I think certainly we're in a golden age of opportunity for fathers. There is the opportunity for things like you've mentioned, like equality in the workplace, gives the opportunity for more equality at home. I think we're in a golden age of opportunity for dads to get more involved in the lives of their children. And I feel very positive about that. I'm glad I'm a father at this point in history.
Yeah.
Really glad.
Yeah, yeah.
And perhaps that's a good place for us to finish off.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. So that was the first episode of The Dad Cave. And Stephen and I will look forward to producing more episodes, and we'll hope you'll join us again in the future. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.